This show is sponsored by Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Support this podcast and get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to HuluPlus.com/Joey. That's HuluPlus.com/Joey. And by DollarShaveClub.com. Get high-quality razors sent to your door each and every month for a fraction of what you pay at retail. Now go to DollarShaveClub.com/church. That's DollarShaveClub.com/church. Or just go to JoeyDiaz.net and click on the Dollar Shave Club banner.
Kick that motherfucker, Lee. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Monday, December 9th. The day the devil was buried at sea. It's a beautiful day to be alive. Wash your pussy. Clean your toes, eat some oatmeal, do some jumping jacks, push-ups, whatever the fuck you need to do. It's going down, motherfuckers. Crank that motherfucker, Lee. Oh, shit. Are you fucking kidding me or what? He's rising. He's rising, cocksucker, just like you. Rising from the dead like Jesus on the third day. Fuck the Jews. I'm making a comeback, bitch. Oh shit, it's that time. Here we go. Riding, riding, ow, ow, ow. What? This is one of the baddest fucking jams you'll ever put on. Oh! Yay! Here you go, motherfucker. This is your thing right here. This is the killer right here. Look at this fucking guitar. This is brilliant, Slee.
My fingers are too short.
We're tickling down about an hour ago. Are you kidding me? Took a look around, say which way the wind blow, Wheatley. That's it, we eating that old, we'll see, with a little girl in a Hollywood fucking bungalow. Put that on louder. Where we were rocking that lady in the city of lights. Are you fucking kidding me? What this motherfucker's saying? Another lost angel. Come on, Lee. What? Woo! City of night. Oh, oh. Kill that motherfucker, Lee. I get fired up. You know how long I've been listening to that song for?
How long?
47 fucking years, guys. 47 years. How ashamed. You know who turned me on to that song? My mother. And then she would put it on at the bar. When he would say Mr. Mojo Rising, she'd make believe she was whacking off. Like, beat that motherfucker, cocksucker.
Jesus.
She used to make me dance to this when I was like 5.
Really?
She'd say, get on the fucking table, dance to this, shake those fucking hips. Dale jamon, cocksucker. Dale jamon, motherfucker. That means give him ham, you dirty bitch. Give him that fucking ham between your legs. Thank you very much for being a part of the church of what's happening tonight. How you guys doing? Monday, December 9th. It's a beautiful fucking day. Lee, tell me something good, cocksucker.
I always wish I could play the drums. Okay. My fingers are too short to play guitar. All
right.
I even tried the other day. I was like, can I play guitar? I mean, the drums, I can't. I don't know.
So why don't you play the drums? Why don't you get a drum kit and we'll get some lessons? And you're all out. You're looking for a new career choice. This is what the church is all about, right?
No, I would love to.
You could
to
bang
learn.
Your fucking head on the drum and put the tambourine and put some gel on your head. It's all light yourself on fire.
Jew on fire.
What's going on, cocksuckers? You don't want. You should learn how to play the drums. Take a lesson once a week.
Yeah, but
I'm too much of a pussy to go. You know why I don't go get a guitar lesson finally?
Why?
Because I get infatuated with it, and I just don't have the time right now to get infatuated with some. I'm having the problems with this book.
Yeah.
That's what happened last night. That's why I didn't sleep. Because I knew something was missing from this chapter. And I couldn't think of what the fuck it was. And I was tired. I laid down. I got right back up 45 minutes later and started fucking typing. I've been up since like 3:30.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, so I don't know what type of day we're going to have today.
We're going to have a great day.
We're going to kill this fucking edible. Look at this. This is...
Okay, can we tell the story behind it?
Yeah, they're 500 milligrams. Yep. He had to make 100 milligrams, but I gave Lee... I thought it was 250
and
milligrams.
Give me a half.
And he ate a half, and he was fucked up in San Francisco.
And you were like, just eat the whole thing, cocksucker. And it's so thick that you can't chew through it. And you got mad at me, and I just didn't move. I was watching SportsCenter on silent for about 3 hours.
You're just sitting there like a fucking Momo. I kept saying, Lee, get involved. And you're like, I don't really want
you
to.
You were in the corner. It was a big green room. And you were in the corner. You couldn't see me. And you were like, Lee, Zayat. And I was like, what?
You were popping his little fucking head up with his little red beady Jew eyes. Oh. Yeah, let's take a bite of this motherfucker.
Okay.
Remember, like I said, these are nothing. He made a weaker one for you. You could take the head.
A weaker one? It's 100. It's still 100 milligrams.
Yeah. I'm going to eat fucking 60 of them. There you go. You got the head. He looks just like you. Look how cute he is. This little Gumi from Los Gumis Hermanos on a Monday morning. God damn it, Jesus be with you. Don't start complaining. It's a little fucking head. Don't start breaking it up. Right away, that's why I can't have you eat on radio. Because you stress me out. You stress me out on the podcast. Pop it in your mouth. Pop it, bitch.
See how big this is, guys? Just so you know what I'm going through.
Pop it in your mouth. I just hate the guy's fucking body and his dick. You're eating this little fucking peanut head. Knock it off. Drink some Pepsi. There you go, like a soldier. Show these people who the fucking real Marine is. Look at him, look at him. He's getting sick. Look at him. This is why I got to deal with people. You see him? He's puking like he's eating broccoli with cheese. Swallow that shit, cocksucker.
I'm trying.
Don't make me kick you in the stomach. It's a beautiful Monday to be alive. We're eating edibles here on the podcast. We're getting ready to go. I had a great time, my man Tom Segura. What's the matter, Lee? Where are you going? Don't even think about it. Swallow that bitch. Make believe it's a broccoli juice with cucumbers and ginger. Close your eyes. Just go. What's
no, in your hand? It's what? Huge. It's all gone.
He's spitting it out. Can you believe what I got to deal with? I got to treat him like a
We had them on the podcast. The Gumi Shermanos. It's a fucking...
What happened?
It's like if you took a bag of gummy bears and melted it into one and tried to chew it. It's just... It's huge.
It's huge. Just bite that motherfucker like it's a clit. All right? Just...
You bite clits?
No, you suck on them a little hard. You work that motherfucker, you know what I'm saying? A little bit with your tongue. Anyway, why we get on clits? It's 6:08 in the morning.
That's the best time
off.
To get a clit.
Beautiful fuck. Nah, man, I had a great time with Tom Segura. Went to the Calusa Casino.
Mm-hmm.
It's about an hour outside of San Francisco. You know, you think you're going to the fucking headquarters of Walking Dead. But it's a beautiful fucking little hotel. I mean, I had a great piece of salmon. I hate dirty wild rice.
You don't like it?
I don't like wild rice. This was the best wild rice I ever tasted. The salad was delicious. The show, there was like 400 fucking people.
Wow.
200 people didn't belong there. They didn't know what the fuck was going on. I must have walked 100 people at that casino.
Really?
Yeah, I walk people like it. They're not used to the podcast and shit. And they're Christians. They don't need this in their life. I don't want them to watch this anyway. You know, it's just a waste of... I don't want to watch nothing I don't want to watch. Why would I make, you know what I'm saying? They didn't know what they were getting themselves involved in. But we had a good time. You know, it was fucking cold as shit this weekend up there. If you're not used to it, like this morning, it's 35 degrees.
Is it really?
When I got in my fucking car, it was 35 degrees this morning.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not used to it, that's cold. Some people in Canada and Alberta and all that, like, you're a fucking pussy. You're goddamn right, bitch. We're not used to it. You know, I was talking to my wife last night. I don't know if I could go back into the winter. After all this time living here.
It sucks.
It really sucks because you're not used to it. It's 11, you know, it's been, what, 16, 17 years I lived here.
When I was broke in Boston, there were 2 years I didn't turn the heat on in Boston. Like, Jesus I was just Christ, a broke man. Student. So, like, we didn't turn the heat on. So, fucking, but now I have the heat going. I didn't put it on yesterday because when I'm in bed just by myself, I like being cold. But this morning I had to turn it on.
No, you had to turn it on. It was fucking cold. When you were broke those 2 years, you didn't think of putting a thong on and dancing for old men or nothing like that. Maybe putting a hairpiece on.
I did that, but I did it for free. That's where I fucked up.
It's so funny. I was thinking about her the other day. That's one of the funniest stories ever. The funniest crack I ever laid on somebody. It's a great comedian, Shay Matash. And she met this guy. I was supposed to go to Alaska and I canceled because I had like some movie or something and I canceled. And she went up there. And she met a guy up there and they fell in love the first night. He was a karaoke host.
Oh, God.
And she tattooed his name on a pussy. It was classic what? Shit. They moved back here. They got a house together, and she's, like, suspicious. She doesn't know how he's making money. He's jittery and shit. And I guess one day she went through his emails, and she found emails of him. He used to dance for old people. Like, he put, like, a thong on and go to old guy's house and dance for him. And I think he wouldn't let them touch him. They just jerk off on his feet or whatever the fuck he does.
Oh, God.
So, you know, whatever. Some people make a living in weird ways, Lee. You know, Twitter's a motherfucker. And she found out. She threw him out. I guess he was getting the money and using it for crank or whatever. So I bumped into her one day, and I'm like, Shayma, how's your boyfriend doing? And she was pale. She didn't want to tell me. And I'm like, she's like, why? Why do you ask? Her? There was some old guy asking questions about him. She fucking turned fucking 90 colors. Anyway, and then Saturday night, we went over to the
McDonald Theater.
McDonald Theater in Eugene, Oregon, which fucking, Oregon's a great state.
I've heard of that, yeah.
Oregon's a fucking great place. Oregon's, it's not like California. It's just very laid back. The people are very laid back. When you move to Oregon, you know you want to move to Oregon. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, people who move to Oregon are like, I know the pace up there, and that's the pace I want to live my life.
Is Eugene like a city? I don't even know. Because I know Portland's city. Like
I think there's a college in Eugene. No, there definitely is a college in Eugene. I think it's state or whatever. I get confused. It's been a long time since I lived up there. It's not that I don't follow you guys. Just it's been a long time. I think Oregon State is Corvallis. And Eugene is the I always lose it. But it's like a small fucking city. They got everything. You know, I've been... In 1996, me and Josh Wolf worked on Prefontaine up there. A lot of people don't know that. There was a movie called Prefontaine that the Scientologist produced, his company. And it was with Billy Kudrup, the really cute blonde, and the coach was played by Donald Sutherland.
Okay.
And Josh Wolf had a gig through Warner Brothers of going up there in the and it was an outdoor movie with an audience, so he was the audience warm up, and I was like his assistant.
And there was there was an audience for a movie.
Yeah, because like The Longest Yard, those people sit there in the stands in between their extras.
So
they're audience. So you got to keep them entertained. You got to do raffles. You got to give out T-shirts. Somebody's handing out water. Those people, you lose interest, they lose. And to keep them there, you have to raffle a car at the end. A Toyota. So we already had it down. After we did it the first time, they said, you're doing it in 3 weeks. We're going to rob a fucking car. Because they were Nike was giving away shit, sneakers. I mean, there was a room that was just packed with gifts.
Wow.
Packed with fucking
gifts. I thought they just paid them $100 a day and they expected them all to be happy and jump around.
No, they don't give a fuck about that shit, but they need to entertain you. Because after 2 hours, you'll go, you know what? Who needs this shit? I don't need to be here sitting here like a fucking Momo. You know, those people that get, you know, I got an email yesterday about a kid that asked me about acting.
Okay.
And even I knew coming here. Like when my first month here, people were asking me, like I would go to these places, like they run ads, be in a movie today, you know, something like that, work today as an extra. And I would go down there, and then you go down there and they're like, we want $35 to sign you up. And you're like, what the fuck? Why would I pay to work? And they're like, whoa, you're going to pay $30, but tomorrow you're going to make $250. We already got a call for a mob guy. Really? Just like that, you got a call for a mob guy, you know?
Yeah.
So I thought about it, and they kept calling my manager, tell him to come down here. And he was like, you're not going down there. You're not going to be no fucking extra, you know? I want you to learn acting from the inside out. And that's why I took an acting class, and I got an agent, and I went to auditions. I never fucking worked as an extra. I did stand work in Seattle for a video, an industrial video for AT&T one time, where I would pick up boxes and move them, but nobody had lines. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All we had to do was pick up boxes while a guy talked. You know, I don't like how they treat extras. That's a tough fucking job.
Is it shitty? I've never been on like a set like that.
It's not that it's shitty, but there's union extras and there's non-union extras.
There's union extras?
Yeah, and there's union extras that make $250 a day, $400 a day doing commercials and shit like that. And then there's what do you call that? Like non-union extras where they just basically stab them out the way out.
Yeah.
They don't give a fuck about these people. And what do you learn? To stand there, the directions of the angles. You know, like a lot of people go to move here to get vouchers to get into SAG. You know how tough it is to get a fucking voucher as an extra?
What's a voucher?
I think you need 3 vouchers to become a SAG member if you don't book 2 things.
Oh, okay.
So there's a couple different ways to get into the Screen Actors Guild. You could book a job, and then you become Taft Hartley. You don't have to join the union. The first one's always free, whether it's after a SAG, but now they both merged. So now it's whatever the fuck it is, after whatever, SAG, after life, whatever the fuck they do to you. I mean, you know, they are what they are. I have to be a part of the union to work in movies. That's the only reason I'm a part of this union. So there's 2 different ways. There's you get 3 vouchers or 5 vouchers. I could be wrong. Don't fucking crucify me. And you sit around, and that could take years to get 3 vouchers. Or you get an agent and get in there. Both ways, you got to pay.
Yeah.
It's both like $2,500 fucking bucks now. And there's no story. You got to either finance it or make the fucking payment to join. I mean, it's a really cold, cold play type deal. But once you get here and you join the SAG, I mean, SAG offers a lot of things as long as you take advantage of them. But back to the original story, I would not suggest to any church fucking members, you're not an extra, okay? You're the fucking man. You know, fucking extra sitting in the back, people pushing you around, they barely spit at you. Fuck that shit. You show up on the set, you're the fucking man. Or don't show up on the fucking set. It's like anything else in life. Don't show up at the bar if you're going to sit in the back moping like a Momo. If you're going to sit in the forefront with a cocktail sling dick and put your dick on the table and say, let's do a lemon drop, sniff this nut, then do your fucking thing. But nobody is a fucking extra. You know why? Because we fucking said so. That's why.
So when you like, because I've never even thought about getting into acting. Would it be better to like be like a star of like an independent college movie or be an extra on like a Hollywood movie?
I'd rather you get experience.
Okay.
I'd rather you get experienced and go on the set and get a negative outlook on it. Because as an extra, eventually one day you're going to get a negative feel for being an extra.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to get a negative feel for acting. It might turn you off to acting.
Okay.
Do you follow what I'm saying to you? I don't want somebody to do something to deter them from acting. It's like if you come to me and you go, you know what, Joey, I'm 500 fucking pounds and I want to lose weight. You know, and I come to you and go, tomorrow we're going to do this. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, you're running 8 miles your first day. I just deterred you because you think you're never going to do this shit. I'm never going to do this, Joey. If this is what I need to do, I'm never going to do this. But if the first day we walk and come back and stretch, that's it. And the second day we walk a little more and come back and stretch. And the third day we just do, you follow me? There's a way to do it gradually.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather you, the way I did it was, I took an acting class and I watched fucking movies. I could tell when somebody comes on a set and hasn't watched a fucking movie. Watch a fucking movie.
Really? You can like there's
you could fucking tell. Like, haven't you ever watched a fucking movie? So, number one, keep your fucking mouth shut. Nobody gives a fuck about your opinion. You're getting paid. Keep your mouth shut. Again, yeah. Keep your fucking mouth shut. Nobody gives a fuck. If you go in as an extra, they dress you a certain way. You got to sit in a holding pen. You don't eat with us. I mean, they really make you feel. It's like going to fucking prison. Prison's a fucking day camp. It really is. These people complain. What do? You sleep, they wake you up. It's how they wake you up. They kick the bed. They turn the lights on you. Anybody ever just turn the lights on you when you're sleeping?
Yeah.
It sucks, dick. It humiliates you inside because you can't get up and break their fucking head. The same way happens towards fucking extras. The same way happens when you're anything in life. And you come into a realm like this where people think because they have a little bit of power, they could say something to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the same thing, whether you're going to prison, whether you're fucking on a set, whether your jobs, how many people have jobs right now? You're sitting at your desk and you're fucking listening to the church or you're whacking off or whatever, but you know the boss is a scumbag. And because, you know, this guy would be sucking dick on a corner if he didn't have this fucking job. You ever get those bosses that this guy would be sucking your dick on a fucking corner if you fucking looked at him in the eye the wrong way? But now he's sitting there telling you what to do, and you're in a spot. You got to pay your bills. You got to pay credit cards. You got to fucking, you got to take a, you got to have a, you have a child at home. You can't really say nothing to this motherfucker. Do you know what that does to your psyche?
It kills you.
Do you know what that does to your central nervous system? That you can't lash out. And that's the way society is sometimes, but there's a way for you to lash out. And that's to be better than that motherfucker. And then one day get up and go, you know what? Suck my dick, bitch. And what? Say something so I can blast you with this fucking desk. Part of the reason I became a comic was because I didn't want a boss. I don't mind having a boss, but you got to treat me with the respect I'm going to fucking treat you. I'm going to show up on time. I'm going to drink the fucking coffee. I'm going to empty the trash. I'm going to pick up a piece of paper. That's the other part of being pissed at your boss. If you act like a fucking Momo all the time, then you can't be mad at your boss. Your job starts at 7. You got to be there 20 to fucking 7 doing jumping jacks, at ease, drinking coffee, being a little bit fucking enthused. So all those things come into play also. Not everybody's a bad person, but on some jobs, like I remember when I sold cars the first time, I'm looking at these guys, and they're fucking criminals. But they're walking around with suits on, talking about playing golf.
Yeah,
because they make good money. So now they're playing golf. Listen, in all my fucking years, I wouldn't touch a fucking golf club unless I'm hitting you on the fucking head with it. Because do I look like I fucking play golf? What's golf going to do for me? You can't put a silk hat on a fucking pig. Okay? You can't put a silk hat on a fucking pig. Always remember that.
I would love to see you play golf.
One time, I went out to Alpine, New Jersey, did a couple bumps, had a couple cocktails. The sun gave me a migraine. Never again. But do you understand me? Like, I've worked with these criminals. I'm looking at these guys. And the first couple weeks, you have, like, this blind alliance to them because they're your boss. Then one day, you're like, fuck you, bitch. Who the fuck do you think you're talking to, motherfucker? And they freeze. They die because nobody's ever said that to them. They die, and the real pussy in them come out because that's the only control factor they have over you. When you look them in the eye, you know what? Fuck you. fuck this job. Say one more word so I could knock your fucking out. And they look at you like, what the fuck just happened? No. It was a misunderstanding. Next thing you know, you got him in the fucking office and right in front of the main guy. You're like, fuck this punk. He treats me with no fucking respect. You want to go outside, bitch? And that's where it ends. Now the guy sees it. The boss knows that you might be busting his balls. Trust me, I'm telling you. You got a guy that's busting your balls, that's making your life miserable. You know what, guys? You were looking for a job when you found that one. Trust me, I'm telling you. Because after a while, it's going to break you down as a man. It's going to break you down as a man. It's going to break you down as a man. Do you know what that does to you? I don't ever. It's like dating a fucking stripper, and she's out there sucking dick, and she comes home to you. It breaks you down as a man. You could play it off like, yes, you know, whatever. I'm a free open. You're a fucking jerk off. Some guy's coming in your fucking wife, or some guy's coming on your fucking girlfriend's titties, and you're sitting there with your friends at some party giggling like it's acceptable. You dumb motherfucker. You dumb motherfucker. Be a fucking man. That's a word of the day today. Be a fucking man. I remember being broke, paying child support, having attorney bills, going back to Colorado, and all eyes of the world were on me. All the eyes of the world were on me. And I got a job. I told this story at Sprinkler Motor. Sprinkler Motor was a used car lot in Longmont. My friend Jim Wheeler got me a job out there. And there was a guy at there, Shotgun Doug, that I knew from Aspen, that gave a girl coke one night. And he went to the bathroom. He came back. He said the coke was missing, so he got a shotgun and put it to her head. So some guy was walking.
What?
This is a true story. In Aspen, Colorado in 84. Some guy was... I had left Colorado already.
Yeah.
But I kept in touch. And one day, Jimmy Burkle said to me, hey, man, did you hear about Doug whatever? I don't know what his name was. He goes, they called him Shotgun Doug because he put a gun through a girl's head. He got all paranoid on coke. So one day, I see this guy in Longmont, Shotgun Doug, a guy I knew in Aspen 5 years fucking early. Not even. It's I knew him in 83. It's 90... Three in Snowman in Longmont, Colorado. And he comes in. He's a wholesaler now. I see him all these years later. I'm like, what's up? And it's a Christmas party at this fucking place, whatever the name of the car dealer was. And it's a used car lot. It's a fucking buy here, pay here lot. But you can make a lot of money at those. And I'm sitting there, and this guy's like, hey, man, how was it being a fucking convict? And I'm like, busting my balls in front of everybody on the basketball court. Like, he thought he was cute, you know? He goes, where'd you learn how to play basketball like that? In prison? Ha, 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 ha. Like, he was trying to be cute. And after the game, I called him over. I go, come here, let me talk to you about something. I got some blow. And I took him into the alley, and I grabbed him by his ears, and I banged his head against the fucking trailer, because it was a trailer, like, a lot. I fucking banged it, like, 18 times. Bah, 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 bah. And all of a sudden, they came out, and like, what's going on here? And they fired me. And they're like, how can you get fired a week before Christmas? You know what, man? Nobody talks to me a certain way. And if you catch, there's some days you get away with it. I just giggle. But there's certain days when you got that fucking black ghost on your neck. You ever get those days? You wake up on the wrong side of the bed.
I do, but I never acted on it.
No, you got to act on it sometimes, because now it eats away at your fucking stomach. Like, I know even you get mad at me sometimes, but fuck it, you got to say something.
No, it's never in the way like that. But I think a lot of people listening probably have the bosses like you were talking about, because I know I did.
Oh, we all do.
And no one talks to them like you talk to them, because you're, I don't know, it's... I don't know if you're lucky or
no,
what.
And I'm not tough, but I know that nobody could talk to you like
no,
that.
No, not tough.
I'm not Chuck Liddell, and I was never Chuck Liddell growing up. But something inside of me is not going to let you talk to me like that. If I'm fucking up, you could talk to me how I deserve to be fucked up. You deserve it. You're not supposed to call me stupid or asshole or something. You pull me inside and go, I got a lot of faith in you. You've been slipping lately. I know you're drinking. I know you're doing drugs. You're not doing your job. You got this broad. Whatever the fuck you're doing, it ends today. You go home, you think about it, and you know the guy's right. You know, is that some people pay you to fucking do a job.
Yeah.
And then we fuck up. Those are the people that burn me up. The people that fuck up. And then when you say something, you're the bad guy. That controls. That because that used to be me.
Mm-hmm.
That was me. Where I could do something, you're like, Joey, what the fuck? And I'm like, dog, Lee, how can you say something? And I get mad at you. Then a year later, I'm like, I'm not friends with Lee because he told me the truth. There's a bunch of those motherfuckers running around that you just can't take it no more. One day you go, hey, man, I appreciate it. I come here every day, I pick you up at 9. Do me a favor. Be downstairs at 9. You know? It's like when you ask somebody for money that they owe you.
Mm-hmm.
After like a year, you're like, do me a favor. Can I get that $200, man? They get pissed at you. There's some people that you can't say nothing to in this world. But you have to break that mold. Because if you don't say something, then it bothers you. It bothers you. It eats away at you. So you have to say something sometimes. Like, hey, I gave you this a year ago. I gave you a fucking CD a year ago. You never gave it back to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I gave you a Led Zeppelin CD to listen to. You know, just simple things sometimes. So that's what I'm saying with the boss. I mean, before you tell your boss to go fuck yourself because he's telling you not to be late, that's not what I'm talking about. We all know the thin line in conversation. We all know the thin line, you know. I had this boss when I worked at the sports betting service that was basically a dick. He wasn't a dick. Let me tell you what he was, Lee.
What?
He was a real Jew, okay? And he was a great guy, and he never talked down to you. But once it was post time, it changed. When you were outside that door, that line, it was great. Man, this guy, listen, I'm going to tell you what this guy did for you. On Monday nights, you worked from 10 to 6, and right at 6 o'clock, there was a limo waiting for you outside. He'd take you to the best restaurant in town, buy you fucking whatever you want on the menu. Once a month, you went to Vegas on Tuesdays and came back on Wednesday. All stayed at the Mirage, went to the owner of the Mirage's fucking office and had dinner with him, whatever the fucking guy's name. On Fridays, before fucking work, you went to the movies. On Sundays, he was such a Jew, he would get bagels flown out from Long Island, whitefish, all that Jew stuff. You know, the fucking herring, pickled herring, all that goody good shit.
Yeah.
He would get it flown out. How many Jews do you know? And he would say it. You're working Christmas Day. Because Jesus was a Jew. I don't give a fuck. And you understood what he was talking about. He didn't talk down to you. He didn't say nothing to you. He put it in a way, and it's life. What needs to be done. Everything else, it's great. You went to that live. You jumped up and down. But today, from 6 to fucking 2 in the afternoon, this is what needs to be done. There's no giggling. There's no time. You giggle when you got $1 million made today, right? That's when we giggle. And at first you go, but then it's life. Today, he's very successful. He's not even in the business no more. He's a real estate guy, but it all came from that. He was a Jew. He was the last of the real Jews I bumped into. There was no drive. And I loved him. Till this day, I still act like him. I still act on the actions that he used to talk about. It was, when I got divorced, I was a little soft still. Like, I was halfway there, but I was a little soft. Life is against me, blah, blah, blah. And he kind of fucking was like the last screw. Juan was the first one that toughened me up, and he was the final one. I remember, like, one day going, yeah, Christmas Day. And I was like, no, Christmas Day is the biggest bowl game of the year. There's two football games. You want to sit at home with your kids? Go. Get a job at a supermarket, and you can sit at home with your kids. But in this office, we work from 6 to fucking 12. And you go home at 12. You're going to go home with $3,000-$4,000 in your pocket. What a better Christmas is that? That's how Jews run. And you'd sit there and go, he broke it down for you in the right fucking way.
Yeah, and was he there? Like that?
Every day. Yeah. Not this shit. He was calling you from Swahili. No,
hated that. Like, oh, we're going to work the day before Thanksgiving, but he left on Monday already to go somewhere with his family.
No. Yeah. He was in the office with you. When you walked in and there was a foot of snow, he was in there waiting for you with sandwiches, and he made you feel good. There's a lot of people you go the extra mile for when you get there. No. When you got there, it was coffee, hot chocolate, bagels, sandwiches, eggs. He would order food for you. You were taken care of. But on the other side, this is what he wanted.
He expected you to work.
There was no drama in his world. Him and his brother were fucking great. And part of the reason that I hit life so hard sometimes at the end was because of them. Because I knew something was missing from my life. And they instilled that last bit of pushing me. Like with stand-up, like they were fucking most. I remember going to the office and them saying to me, listen, you're not working summers. You're going to do stand-up. Then in the winters, you come back, you make 60 grand. Then the summers, you do stand-up. And that's how you do it. I mean, everything the guy said to you was correct. You want to be an artist and hang out with faggots? I mean, that's how he talked to you. No. Come in here, make 60 grand, and you could drink coffee and tell lies at the coffee shop with the rest of those fucking stiffs. And you're sitting there going, he's fucking right.
Yeah.
So that's the mentality you got to go out with today. You know what I'm saying? And like, I'm sorry if I insulted somebody, but he's serious. He was a real Jew. He didn't drive a Beamer. He didn't drive no fucking Audi. He drove a car with more dents than your fucking head, more dents than my face, Lee. You understand me? Nobody knew his business. He didn't want people to know his business. He had bummy clothes. His father had a hot dog stand.
Oh, okay.
In Boulder. The mother was a big, fat Jewish woman who was a sweeter than fuck, you know, but she didn't fuck around either. You know, when they started the business the first year, they made $700,000 in the basement. Him, his best friend, and his mother. That's how they started that business. They were working 18-hour days, 7 days a week. When you want something in life, Lee, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it. Everybody always wants. Everybody wants to fucking go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Everybody wants to go to fucking heaven. Everybody wants to party. Everybody wants to sit in VIP. But when it comes to working 90 fucking hours, they look at you like, huh? Huh? No, I want to sit around and play fucking Space Box, whatever the fucking shit, PC4, or Game of fucking Debt. You want to play the Game of Debt? Get a fucking knife and get a car and get out there, motherfucker. That's a Game of Debt. You understand me? But that's the problem with society today. Nobody looks at things like that. Everybody wants to go to vacation, Saint-Tropez. God forbid you can't keep up with the fucking Joneses in this fucking society.
Well, it's hard because especially unless you're working for yourself, you kind of get downtrodden because you could put in 1,000 hours, but you're making somebody else rich.
But then what about if you are working and he's paying you and you're putting away money and you're doing the right thing? If you're not blowing your money and you're putting away your money to open up your own business.
No, you can put away money, but let's say you kick ass, you do some places, oh, we don't pay overtime here, or, oh, we need this.
Oh, they always try to fuck you. So but there's always a way for you to fuck them at the same time. You just have to figure it out.
You can't let yourself get depressed.
Listen, when somebody comes to you and goes, I'm gonna pay you, huh? You got to look at it as you're doing your art for practice, and you're only going to do it for a set time, and you're going to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody hit me that they're working at Walmart or something. And I said to them, you know what? This is just a short fucking, this is just a short stay at this place. This is just, you're just going there to refuel, make up a couple fucking G's, stick to your fucking guns and move on. You're not gonna, you know, that's why people I'm going to go home for a year and save money. And then all of a sudden, 8 years later, you still see him at the bar. Man, I'm putting away money. No, you're not, because you're at this fucking bar drinking. People put away money at home with a six pack. Instead of spending 22 at a bar, they're at home spending 8 and they fucking get fucked up.
Yeah.
You understand me? So there's ways to do things and there's ways. I love people who tell you, I'm putting away money to move. Really? Just fucking get it together. Get the fuck up. I like situations. I spoke to somebody the other day and it was hysterical. They're broke. I told them, shake your titties. And I could tell she got offended. But I don't give a fuck. You got kids? You got to shake your fucking titties. Ain't nobody going to give you nothing. Ain't nobody gonna give you nothing in this fucking life. No, ugats. Ugats. You got ugats coming to you. You go to a guy if you're a fucking woman who's a 6, a 7, and you go to a guy to borrow money, that's the first thing he's gonna say to you. How are we gonna pay this back? Well, let's do this. Let's shake those titties. Let me come on them. And we call it even. Now you got a decision to make. I'm not telling you gotta be a fucking whore, but it's better than walking around with bunny rabbits in your fucking pockets. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, absolutely.
How's that Goomy Bear working?
It's hitting me.
I hear you. You look good. You see what I'm saying? After this, you get dressed, you take a shower, you put some mousse in your hair, you go get a fucking bagel. By that time, I go to the gym and you pick me up later. There's no racks. There's no R&R today in your life. That's it. It's over. The Jew is back. You sat on that fucking couch all weekend marinating. I went in there, smells like a wild animal. You've been scratched. You haven't even taken a shower in 3 days. Yes, you're sitting there scratching your nuts, thinking about mama. You got to get it together, son. You're 25.
Well, fucking don't give me edibles if you want me to do stuff.
What? I wasn't here all weekend.
Oh, this weekend, yeah, I fucking didn't do shit.
You going to blame me for fucking Friday? I called him and said, I'm watching football. What are you, Jimmy the Greek? Get up. Go see some fucking sun, cocksucker. If it wasn't for D'Agostino, I would have had to peel you off that fucking couch.
Absolutely. No, I fucking love doing nothing.
Well, you better stop because it's over. Once you come back from Boston, there's no more nothing. You're going to be working 10, 12 hours.
I am. No, but it's kind of what we were talking about. I don't mind doing the work, like with you. Like, you called me and we sent something extra to the CD guy, and I've just been, I love doing that stuff, and it's, it makes, I've noticed in myself a big difference when you don't have that, because when I was going to the jobs I hated, I had a fucking negativity all, like,
always.
Just around me, like, I felt bad. But I'm a little bit worried about money now, and I'm waiting for unemployment to come in. But it's I feel so much better, and if you were like, oh, we need to do this and record or edit, and I would work 24 hours a day. But it's it makes a huge difference when you're positive, when you don't have that negativity around you.
Sometimes there's some jobs that just don't agree with you. And, you know, it's a bad time of the year to be talking about not having a job because it's the holidays in January. You must start to. But there's a lot of jobs that don't agree with people. You know, I did something for a while that just didn't agree with me. I mean, it ate me up. I think when I worked for family, it really fucked me up. When I was married to my first wife and I worked for a family, it used to fuck with me because I was the best one on the crew. I had to be. Because when you're family, a lot of people slouch. I never wanted to be that slouch or that loser. I always wanted to work double hard. If you have an editing office lead and you come to me and go, Joe, I want you to come work here, I would go in there and try to be the best editor because I would never want somebody to say, well, he's Lee's friend.
Yeah.
He slacks off. No, no, no. I turn that shit around. If I'm Lee's friend, I'm going to go in there and show you why he's my friend and why he gave me this job. I'm going to embarrass all you motherfuckers and show you what I do. That's how you support. That's your attitude, Lee. That's your fucking attitude. And if that's not your attitude, a lot of these jobs, you're going to keep failing. You're going to keep going from job to job. You know how I know? Because I was one of those people. I used to fail at that shit because I was customer service oriented. I worked hard, but there was a chip on my fucking shoulder. You know, I just didn't want to do. I still remember being fucking 21 and working at something electric on 40th and Bergen Line Avenue, Swift Electric. I was an electrician in Aspen, and when I came back to Jersey, the jobs were in Hoboken. They wanted to pay $8 for apprentices. I was getting like $16 an hour in Colorado, you know? All of a sudden, I got to fucking dig in fucking crawl spaces and run residential wiring. I didn't want to do that shit. I wanted to do commercial shit and wire commercial buildings and work with pipes and bend saddles and all that stuff. So I get back to fucking Jersey, and the only job that was available was at an electronic place where electric supplies, where you went and bought the wires and the switches and all that shit.
Okay.
So I went to work there. It was an entry-level position. My friend Kurt DiLorenzo's mother got me the job as an electrician warehouse union. I think I'm a part of it. I still got to check if I sign up. And I went to work there, and the fucking warehouse guy was a scumbag. He had gotten a job there, like, as a kid in high school. And now he was there 20 years, you know, and he had, like, a nice car. And they were like, he's a success. He bought a house down here. He's got this fucking 83 Z80. Like, for them, for people from Jersey at that time, that was success, you know. He comes to work, you know, he works 6-7 days a week here. But the guy didn't like it when you came in. Like, I'm the type of guy, I don't like you telling me what to do. I know what to do. You don't ever have to, like, if you tell Joe, you're working for me at 8 o'clock and I get here at 8, and you don't show up till 8:30. When you get here at 8:30, I'm not going to be sitting down. I'll be picking up papers, sweeping. I don't like people telling me what to do. I know what the fuck I have to do. That's the other thing. A lot of people in life wait for them to tell you what to do. I can look at a room and know what needs to be done. Empty the fucking trash, vacuum, take those boxes out of here. There's shit that needs to be done. A lot of people don't know what the fuck to do. You know, if you go to work for somebody, you got to work one step ahead of them so they don't have to tell you what to do ever. And that's the same thing in life. I got to tell you what the fuck to do. Why are we doing this? You have to think about this shit without even, and that's in any job. That's in any job. No boss likes to tell you what to do every morning. Think about it. Would you want to tell me what to do every morning? Today we're going to do this from 8 to 10. We're going to do this from 10 to 8. No, I'm going to, what time you get in, Lee? 8, 10? I'm going to get at 7:45. I'm going to get a jump start on the fucking day. So when you get in, you're like, this fucking guy's got initiative. These are all parts of moving forward in your fucking life. These are all parts. You can't sit there and wait for somebody to tell you something. You got to fucking go, oh, look, that needs to be done. Bam! When the guy comes in, who told you to do that? I just knew it needed to be done. This motherfucker is thinking.
That's what you hope, but I bet that guy at the electronics warehouse was the type of guy who loved to tell people what to do. Like, there are some people who have had those jobs forever who would get mad at you for, no, that's not the way we do it here. We this is the way we do it, and they change it a little bit, or they just, people who love being the boss, like, they would get, I bet that's why that you clash with people, because they don't like people who are trying to do it different, or leaving them out of it, or it's, those are the bosses that always kill me, that are such micromanagers. You're like, well, we got it done, like, what are you talking about? And it's just, it that always killed me. I had a bunch of bosses like that.
It's that time, cocksucker.
I'm so...
Fuck it. You got to get more fucked up. It's Monday, December 9th. 16 more fucking days till D-Day. Well, you're Jewish, but don't give a fuck. You're still going to get presents and give presents. Your girlfriend's Catholic. By the way, what are you going to do when you marry this broad? You're going to have to convert. Those Mexicans don't marry Jews. You know what I'm saying? You're going to have to wear a little fucking yarmulke with a cross on it and dance.
Well, she's cool. Her mom, I haven't seen him yet, but her mom, I told you, has all that like stuff in her house, all the Virgin Marys.
Yeah.
And she has like prayer circles. Like, they don't go to church. The mom and her friends just get together at the house and set up altars and do these little prayer sessions. And I'm like, what? Like, I've never seen anything like that. But no, that's actually a big thing for me.
Jews don't pray. Jews just go to the bank.
No.
That's it. Jews go to the bank. They don't need to fucking pray. What prayer? I brought 3 rolls of penny in this motherfucker. I deposited $1.20 today. You know what I'm saying? What fucking pray?
Is that big with you and Terry? Because my parents, one of the biggest things they fought about was religious stuff. And I know you and Terry you're both Christian, but it's a little bit different.
I'm Catholic.
Yeah.
And I'm a little Buddhist, and I got the Santeria fucking base. Mm-hmm. My wife is Christian from whatever. It's very interesting you asked that, because I went to her church 2 weekends in a row. The first weekend, it was okay. The second weekend, niente per te.
What happened? Because you were so happy with the kids.
The kids were great. Yeah. That was part of it. I don't mind going, saying hello, and getting the fuck out of there, going downstairs with the kids. That's my life. I didn't like the upstairs. I just didn't like the session. I didn't like the attitude, the giddiness, I didn't like this. Some guy came up and sang a song in with a fucking acoustic guitar.
Oh, the guitar is killing me.
To do light, to talk about light. Like, this is a song about light. I didn't hear light one fucking time. You know, just it's people in love with them. What you have to remember is we live in an area where people are in love with themselves.
Yeah.
And they'll tell you how they didn't want to move here for acting, but that's why they moved here. Then they moved here and they realized it was hard and they swam their fucking logic around. They became something else and now they're down on acting. But at the end of the day, they still have that glimmer, that hope. And at that church, they shoot a lot of movies.
Oh, okay.
A lot of people hang out there. So that was the other thing. As soon as I went there, I could see who's in the bit. That's not what that stuff is about, man. At least it isn't to me. When I show up somewhere, I don't want to see other people from the industry and people going. It's like that wedding I went to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought about it. Since the wedding, I've never heard from that guy again. Because his whole point of inviting me to a wedding was to let people know that he knew some comedian, or he had the chick from No Doubt there. Really? We'll consider this. We'll continue.
Call coming. Hold on.
What's up, you sexy motherfucker?
Hey, what do you say?
You know me. It's a Monday morning. It's fucking freezing out.
Oh, can you fucking believe it?
Oh, my God. It was cold in that car this morning. I had the heat on. I had the fucking electric seat warmers, everything.
I had to go and unpack the fucking ice scraper from Chicago.
Jesus Christ. What's going on, Mick Betancourt? How are you, my brother?
I'm good, man. I just got back from Chicago. I was there for Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And, man, I missed that town, man. I don't know if it's euphoric recall, you know, because when it was cold as shit, all I wanted to do was leave, but now all I want to do is go back.
That's fucking amazing.
I just miss it, man. The people, the food was ridiculous.
Oh, the food's always ridiculous in those big cities, brother. Especially there. Once you bite into that fucking Italian beef with the sausage combo, your fitness, all that shit about juicing, all that shit about jumping jacks, and your health goes out the fucking window.
No.
I swear to God.
Double combo sandwich with provolone, jardiniere, and red sauce. Throw some green peppers on it for good measure.
You have no fucking idea, Lee.
Double fries, hit it with hot sauce, and I'm out.
You have no fucking idea. That Italian beef with the fucking sausage combo, good googly moogly. You tell your heart
that's
to suck your
Chicago
dick.
Chicago thing, too.
Yes, it's a fucking Chicago thing. The Italian beef sandwich is a fucking tremendous. And you know what? They have places here in Hollywood that has them. I don't want to name no names. They all suck. They all suck, especially Montaigne's place. That's the worst fucking place ever. They got 15 Mexicans, and not one of them is from fucking Chicago.
No. The only thing that's good about that place is they kind of almost perfectly stole. And as we all know, in Chicago, stealing is a noble profession, so you let it slide. They almost stole the recipe for Lou Malnati's pizza. They're about 40% the way there, but 40% on something that's fucking like if Michelangelo and God came together and made a fucking pizza. So if you're 40% close to that, it's better than anything else you're going to get.
Really?
Anyway.
The pizza's good in there?
You got to get the deep dish. It's got a lot of oregano on it, but it's you've had Lou Malnati's in Chicago. You guys play the fucking Chicago Theater when you're there, right?
Yeah. Delicious.
Yeah, it's pretty. I mean, you can taste remnants of it, and I've never tasted anybody get anywhere near that recipe.
Wow.
Like the crushed tomatoes on there. That and the cheese is kind of spongy with a little tang kick to it. It's they're not fucking around. That's the only thing there, though. The hot dogs are shit. The buns are stale with poppy seeds. The beef tastes like a fucking ass. It's horrible. Everything
oh, it
else,
does.
But the pizza, it works.
What's going on in your world? How's the podcast going?
It's great, man. I got Chris DePetta on today, owner of the Punchline in Atlanta. And I've been getting these great guests, man. And they're not for whatever reason, you know, sometimes people climb up when they come on your show, and so far everybody's been real open and up for a real fucking conversation, because I like to talk about fear, I like to talk about obstacles, I like to talk about actions, because we came up like fucking knuckleheads. I didn't know, I didn't have a ton of really, really good motivators in my life or inspirations or role models, nobody I really fucking trusted, so I gotta say, man, you know, having these people come on and maybe pave the way for cats listening coming up in whatever field they're doing, I'm down, man. I feel very honored that people come on and get honest like that.
You know, it's amazing how many fucking times did your dad or your mom say something to you, like, don't do this in the future, and you shun them off. As simple as stop with the fucking sodas. You know, when you get older, you're going to be fat, or your metabolism stops, and you sit there and go, fuck this bitch, I'm never going to be fat. But if you went to the corner, that Puerto Rican dude that sold nickel bags, if he told you that there was white people on Mars playing a fucking parade, you'd go home and you'd believe him.
Oh, yeah.
And this is why
I love parades. How the fuck do we get to Mars?
Yeah, and this is why I feel I didn't know this till a couple months ago, that people do take this and run with it. And you do take the advice people give you. I hope they do. I hope they learn something. I really hope that they go, wow, this is the, because you know me and you don't fucking candy coat dick.
Yeah.
Dick. I don't candy coat dick because the world ain't candy coated. The world comes at you fucking raw like a dick with no condom on it. And either you deflect that motherfucker or you put a condom on him and learn how to live with it or suck it raw or give it raw. So that's how I give it to people. I give it to you. You know, we were talking about bosses this morning. Like, you're a knucklehead like me. Remember when you were 19 and you got to work at 10 after 8 and the boss said something and you wanted to stab the motherfucker?
Yeah.
How many times did you do something wrong, but then it got to the point where you would do something right and you had a boss that fucked with you? And one day you had to stop what you were doing in the office and go, let me tell you something. I like working here, but the next time you talk to me like that, I'm going to knock you the fuck out. And they stop, they look at you, and they send you to the office. And then in the office, you tell the big boss again, like, if this guy fucks with me, I'm going to knock him out. And the guy's like, no, there'll be no knocking out here. Yes, I'm going to knock him out. And after that, your job is fucking smoother than smooth.
Oh, yes. We had a guy named Stinky Bill. And I was a truck driver, and I'm driving around with this fucking guy. And I could tell, you know, you get, if I spill something on my shirt, right, and then I come in the next day and I got a big stain on my fucking shirt, the case, I rest my case, Your Honor, I didn't change my fucking shirt the night before, you know what I mean?
Right.
And we're lugging shit around, and I'm seeing all the marks on this kid's pants. We're delivery guys for Home Depot. And we called him Stinky Bill. He smelled like fucking wet yak ass. I mean, horrible. If you're in a truck, it's the middle of winter, you can't roll the windows down, and I literally feel like I lived 100 fucking lives as a murderer, and that's what I'm getting punished daily, moment to moment, by having to sit next to this smelly fuck. And so I tell my boss, I go, listen, you gotta fucking talk to this guy. We keep telling him, he doesn't listen. So they write him up, Joe, for hygiene. He gets written up. So he goes, can you believe these guys? They wrote me up for hygiene. I go, listen, man, you can't fuck around. We all got to work with you. You got to watch your hygiene. We were trying to be, I'm a young kid, and I think that was the first legit job I got that paid me over $10 an hour. I thought I hit the lottery. So I didn't want to fuck it up. And it had benefits. So he goes, all right, I guess I'm going to have to change a couple things. He comes to work the next day, same fucking shirt on, same stink. I go, Bill, what the fuck is wrong with you? I go, that's it, man. I can't fucking take it anymore. Get out of the fucking truck. We're on the corner. We're like 3 miles from the store. I mean, you're walking back, man, in the fucking cold. You got written up. Everyone's being cool. I can't fucking take it anymore. He goes, I brushed my teeth this morning. And I go, what the fuck are you talking about? He goes, hygiene means brush your teeth. I go, you dumb motherfucker. Now we got to write you up for being stupid. So I went to the boss and I said, you either fire this stinky motherfucker or I'm out.
That's fucking crazy. Nah, there's some fucking, I'm telling you, there's some people who are just lost out there. And you're trying to make a living, you're trying to do the right thing and just, you know, man.
He's a grown man. He doesn't know how to fucking shower. No. That's ridiculous.
When I worked at that Swift Electric, we were just talking about Swift Electric, there was a guy there that was 40 and his girlfriend was 15.
No.
And he had been dating her since she was like 10. And the parents.
You didn't fucking roll him?
my God, it was horrible. And he used to bring her with him to work. Like, she wasn't allowed to go to high school. She was like his, he signed her out and took over her life. So they lived in the truck together, pretty much, that they would deliver electrical supplies in. That's hysterical.
I would have stabbed him in the fucking liver.
There was nothing you could say.
I want to go off the record on your show right now. No, you know what I would have done? I would have fucking knocked him out, and I would have just clipped his feet with a fucking knife.
I never forget this guy's...
Just the bottom of his feet. Lit him up. So every time he stepped, it fucking hurt for the rest of his life.
And now I think about it, the guy was a definite child molester. But for some reason, he talked the girl's parents into signing her over to him.
Oh, my God.
So he was with her all the time. He signed her out of school. By this point, they were married. They had no kids. But he was like 40, and she maybe was 16, 17. And I remember like...
Is he up here?
What? No, this is 1984. I used to work at a warehouse in Union City called Swift Electric. And I almost smacked the fucking warehouse supervisor one day. I had to leave there after like... I got a job in the city bartending, so I left the job. But I liked it. I liked the place there. The boss was cool. The owner was cool. Just this warehouse manager. But I just remembered that there was a truck driver that had the same thing. But this guy looked like, now that I remember his look, you could tell he'd hang out at a fucking park with a bag of bonbons and shit and at the gate. You could just fucking tell. So it was very interesting, Leon, like, brother. This is the fourth time in 6 weeks. This is my sixth week on the road in a row.
Holy shit.
And this is the fourth time in 5 weeks that somebody came to one of my shows with a mixed shirt on. So I wanted to make sure I took the pictures for you, and I took the picture right away and sent it to you. And it makes me happy that people are listening to the podcast and they're getting positive stuff out, that the final payoff is coming to the show and talking to us and being really fucking cool. But when people start wearing shirts from other podcasts and representing, that's even better. You know what I'm saying? Especially when it's family. Where were you when I sent you the picture? Because it was late. No. It was 10 o'clock when I sent it to you.
No, I was at the house, man, and I showed my wife, who helps me ship the shirts out. You know the deal. If you leave a written 5-star review for the podcast, I don't take out any advertising, and I commit all my time to the show and any TV shows or whatever that I'm writing. But it's the podcast, then live performances, and then stuff I'm writing. So in order to reward the fans like you do, listen. Everyone wants to fucking take, and I think it's a horrible way to approach anything artistic. You got to give, man. That's the point. That's what you are as an artist. You give. And so when I created the show, I wanted to reward people for listening because there's a ton of stuff out there and people have a lot of choices. And so if you leave a 5-star written review for my show on iTunes, I'll mail you free of charge a shirt as a sign of my gratitude. And it's not a fucking bribe. It's me saying, hey, thanks. I'm doing this for you. And, here's my sign of appreciation. And like you just said, people like the shirts, they like the show, and they go out. And also, you also know this, for people that come on the show, I keep the audience caught up with like what everyone's up to. I'm trying to create this kind of fun, eclectic community, and eventually after a year I'm going to start probably touring the show and having like going into smaller towns that normally don't get shows. Like, we can roll in, we want to play the bigger markets. I want to do the exact opposite. And I want to, I don't do any corporate sponsorship. I only give unsolicited, unpaid-for ads for family-owned businesses. And I want to roll into these small towns, man, with big fucking names and blow the roofs off that town and bring some money in and have a fucking blast. Because that's what I like, man. Those are the people that I like, and those are the type of shows that I want to do.
You're a fucking savage. You're a fucking savage.
I love
savage.
It, Joe. And this guys like you, Ari... doing your own podcasts, allowing yourself to be yourself, and have people hear that week after week. And I told you on my own show, man, it fucking inspired me. And, the fact that someone wore one of my shirts to your show, and you came on my show, all of it, like you said, it's full circle. It's fucking great.
It's a fucking beautiful life. And are you still working on Ironside?
No, that show got canceled, but...
No.
I'll tell you, I got an office right down the street, man. You got to come by, right by Colfax and Ventura.
Okay, now let me ask you, how many episodes are there?
They aired 4, but you know how it is now. It's going to be some Hulu, Netflixy shit. They sold it overseas, so I think we shot a total of 9, including the pilot. So, I'll tell you, man, I know a lot of people shit on that show. That show was one of the few shows that, usually the pilot's great, and then you're catching up to the pilot because it takes, you know, the writer wrote the pilot over 2 years, and it's fucking great, and then you got to catch up to that. This show got better and better each episode. Incrementally, it was fucking really great to watch. So I think if people just online give it a chance and get into it. I wrote some shit on there that I didn't think I'd be able to get away with on cable, and they let me write it. And it was on NBC, so pretty interesting, man.
I didn't know about that, but I'm sorry about that, but you know the fucking business, Nick. 1 week you're up, 1 week you're down. It's what you do when you're fucking down that fucking matters. Anybody could be up. It's when you're down.
Your
what the fuck?
Coming out on Christmas Day, right?
What's that, little brother?
Your movie's coming out Christmas Day, right?
Yes, it is, man. I'm very fortunate they're playing the shit out of the trailer.
You made the fucking trailer. I was in the movie the other day. I elbowed Kate. I'm like, fucking, there's Joe.
It's, I can't tell you the feeling when I saw the fucking trailer. I can't tell you how overwhelmed I was, man. I'm lucky as fuck, you know, but I'm not lucky. I hustle and I keep in touch with people and I send emails and I look through my old emails and I send them, and every once in a while you send the right email or you do the right commercial and you stay irrelevant in this business, you know, because every time you do something every 3 or 4 months, you stay a little bit irrelevant, you know, and I lucked out. Some people go to acting class. Yeah, some people go to acting class for 8 years and do all these things and do theater, and I came here and I got into an acting class and I did movies and I finally got to work opposite somebody that, you know the fucking deal, bro. You know the deal.
Oh,
sitting
yeah.
there.
You got to be prepared when they call, when they fucking say hops, you're in the game. You got to fucking be ready to hit the homer. That's
you
it.
Know, and you got Sylvester Stallone there who, let's face it, that's Rocky Balboa. All right, Sylvester Stallone is old, and he looks wrinkled. And listen, I'm not jumping up and down with Sylvester Stallone, but at the end of the fucking day, guess what, bitch? That's Rocky Balboa. That's a guy that had our dream. That he had the same dream. He wouldn't sell that fucking script. He wouldn't sell it, Lee. He had to fucking sell his dog. He wouldn't sell the fucking script until he acted. That movie got cast the Friday before the Monday. Do you know that? Do you know that the original cast they had fell off? And that movie got cast the fucking Monday, the Friday before the Monday. They got Mick, they got the girlfriend, and they got Paulie. So think about how you get years to think of a fucking movie and to cast this movie. And this guy is Sylvester Stallone. You got the old guy. What's his name? The Rocky's trainer, Sylvester Stallone's trainer.
Oh, shit.
What's his name?
I just watched him in the original Twilight Zone. I was
right.
Watching,
Freebie and the Bean, right? Alan Arkin. Here you got Alan Arkin, who is Freebie and the Bean, who made one of the funniest movies ever with James Caan, one of the greatest buddy films of all time that a lot of people never know about because they never watch. You know, James Caan made some great shit early. Great shit before The Godfather. The Killer Elite, the one with the Chicago Bears, when the guy Brian Song. Oh, my God. He did some fucking phenomenal work. You got Kim Basinger, who the first time I saw was in a movie called No Mercy, when she slaps Richard Gere in the face, and he slaps her back, and she's like, "What, bitch? What, bitch?" And then you got Robert De Niro, who fucking smacks that Chinese guy in the fucking Deer Hunter. And shoots everybody at the table. And now here I am sitting with no fucking agent in a fucking apartment in North Hollywood. So I got no fucking agency. I got no help. I got the fucking guy that books me, and I got a commercial agent who I've seen 7 commercial auditions this year. My theatrical agent there, whatever. I can't get a fucking theatrical agent. So here you have it. So this is the way life is.
Yeah, but when you get called in, you swing for the fucking fences, and not a lot of people do that. They clam up. It's all theory, and they can't apply it. You know, you have to keep yourself hyped so that when you get the call and you got to go in the room for whatever the gig, it's the same thing. Like, I'm going to play a fucking, I need to be in theaters, you know? You could say that, and in order to do what we do, you have to have, some part of you has to have an unhealthy ego that can withstand the brutal fucking lows. That allows you to convince yourself to stay in the fucking trenches and keep fighting the fight. The flip side of that is, when you actually get the opportunity, I try to tell people, and you know this, man, like, you have to stay so hyped and so focused just to get an opportunity, and then to actually execute the opportunity once it arrives is a whole separate skill set, is a whole separate attitude, is a whole separate fortitude. You know, like the auditioning is so different than being on set and doing the 30 takes that you got to do, because now a lot of people know you got to get coverage. So it's not just doing that one scene one time well. You're going to do that thing 50 fucking times all day long. You're going to shoot one or two scenes a day in movies. You know what I mean? But if you don't know that and you're not prepared for that, you're going to shit your fucking pants. You're going to be around De Niro and Stallone and go, the fuck? And you're going to break.
You know, it's so funny. Break.
You know what I mean? It's a whole separate fucking thing.
You said something very interesting that everybody's scared of, and that's the word no. It's just natural.
Yeah.
It's just fucking naturally. Hey, let me suck your pussy. No. Hey, let me sleep at your house. No. Let me borrow $10. No. No is, you know, let me work here. No. Let me teach me how to play the drums. No. There's always something, you know? I think that after you've been...
I don't know if you heard this when you came. Like, someone said, it's 100 no's for every yes.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. But I think that guys or women or whatever, when you dabble in pain in some part of your life, or you've even dabbled in addiction. Listen, one night I was so coked up, I broke into my friend's house and slept in his basement on a mattress. At one point, you know, when you wake up and you don't know where you are, I looked over my shoulder, and I was 6 inches from a piece of mortified dog shit. And I remember looking at that dog shit. That is the bottom of my life right there. You telling me that I can't be in a movie doesn't mean dick to me. You telling me you're not going to put me on a Comedy Central special doesn't mean dick to me. Put me in a mattress next to a piece of dog shit again. That'll fuck my world up because I never thought that I could ever go that low. So it's how you look at the fucking no. Whenever I hear a no, I'm like, I'm one no less. I'm one no less from my fucking goal. And it might be a YouTube video or it might be a movie with Robert De Niro. I don't know unless I keep plugging.
That's right.
I'm never going to
know.
Well
said, man.
When I walk into an audition, Mick, as when you walk into a job interview, as when you walk into any position where you're going to be put against a wall, you don't think of anything good right away, Mick. Not none of us do. You think about all the bad things in your life. You think about, I'm short, I'm fucking, I'm fat, my ass smells like a fucking goat. I can't stop eating, I'm addicted to peanut butter. I pick my toenails with my teeth. And then you stop and you go, I'm from fucking the suburbs of Chicago. I almost got shot. What the fuck are these motherfuckers in this office going to do to me? Or whatever you've been through in your life. You're from Boston. You went to a Celtic game with a fucking Miami Heat shirt on. Whatever the fuck you think is dangerous. You know what I'm saying? Whatever the fuck you think is dangerous in your life. You know, when I walk into those auditions, am I going to sit here and tell you I'm not scared as I'm parking my fucking car? As I'm walking up those stairs, you want me to tell you all the things I hear of people telling me I'm a loser? You piece of shit, I robbed this, I stole this drug deal. I hear everything bad I did in my life. And as I open that door and I look at those motherfuckers and I sign my name on the list, I think about my cock. I swear to God. And I think about my mother dying. I think about my mother coming from Cuba. And I think about finding my mother on that floor with that black and blue fucking arm of hers, you know, dead. And I think of the things I have to fucking do. And that's it after that. You're done. After that, Mick, you're fucking done. You're done.
Oh, yeah.
You're done.
This guy told me one time, he goes, you're in charge of how you let people treat you. Because I always thought, you know, it's like a game of fucking pong. I'm defending, I'm deflecting. Fuck that. I'm in charge. I'm not in charge of you. I'm in charge of how I let you treat me. Done. End of story. If I want to be fucking kicked around, I let you do that. If I don't, I don't. It's up to me. But I got to fucking get to a place where I understand that and I can take actions that allow me to just live peacefully and calm. I think the second I got out of the gimme line and I got in a thank you line, that's when my life changed.
You're a beautiful man.
You know, like where's mine? No, fuck. No, no. Hey, I'm glad to be alive. I'm glad for any opportunities you give me. I'll tell you what, when you call me into the game, I give 110%. That's what I do. I don't fuck people over. I don't lie. That's it. That's how I, you know, was that the way that I was my entire life? No, that's the way that I'm doing it now. I can't rewrite the fucking beginning, but I'm rewriting a new ending.
That's why I love you. Hey, let me ask, what are you doing for the holidays?
My mother-in-law, if anybody out there is a praying man or woman, her name's Eileen. She's going through some health issues. So if you could pray for her, that would be very much appreciated. We're going to go back to Chicago and spend some time with her.
You're a good fucking man. What days does the podcast come out, brother?
On Mondays. We share Mondays with you, and it drops at midnight on Sundays. Every Monday, I try to get a great mix of people from the drama world, the comedy world, and I've had a hitman on there. You know, I've got a nice wide variety of fucking guests. So, yeah, check it out. It's called The Mick Betancourt Show. You can email me directly at themickbetancourtshow@gmail.com, or you can follow me on Twitter at Mick Betancourt.
Mick, I love you. Happy holidays, and I'm happy you called in today. And I hope
you,
you get
brother.
A new fucking job, cocksucker. Everybody's beautiful. I hope yours is the same. We'll talk before Christmas.
All right, I'll see you.
I love you, man.
Love you too, brother.
That's a good fucking dude right there.
Yeah.
By the way, today's podcast has me going to leave here, and I think I'm going to stab somebody today. Today's a good fucking pod. I like getting motivated on a Monday. I know it's not the funniest podcast or whatever, but we're going to fire you up for the new fucking year. Let me give some shout-outs, bitches. My main man, Mike Callie. Ryan Kennedy, Michelle Herrera, Ethan, Angela Rojas, Nick, Maria's call, I don't fucking know. Pit-looking guy, pit-looking boy, Andrew Mayhem, I love you, cocksucker, and Mike World Peace, or Mike World some shit, I don't know. That's all I got for you. I can't fucking see.
I love how... Fucking, you just realized now a guy dating a 15-year-old is a child molester. It wasn't a clue back then.
I just remember, you know, Lee, I didn't know the laws then. It was 1984. I was 21 years old. I was a young kid. I was scared. I used to go, you know, at that time I was really trying to get my life together. I was only snorting on the weekends. On Sunday and Monday nights, I'd go into the city then and get 8 Valiums for $10. And I would take a Valium every night, so I'd be in bed by 10. People were, like, blown away. But you can't put a silk hat on a pig. Within 3 months, I snapped and started doing blow, and I went fucking nuts. But I remember at that time, I just remember him. He used to wear, like, it was February of 84 till about May of 84 when I worked there. And he used to wear the parkas with the hood, with the fur around it, you know. And the girl was half retarded, so she just sat in the middle of the truck. But if he was out of the truck and she was out of the truck, she'd be standing next to him holding his hand. He wouldn't let her do anything without holding her hand.
Jesus.
And he would tell the loaders, put that in first because I got to load this in Union City. Put that in second. Come on. And then he'd tell her, get in the fucking car. Get my sandwich ready. And he'd go in. She'd get like some type of fucking sandwich. Jesus. But now thinking about it, I forget what the fucking guy's name was. Now thinking about it, it was amazing how they let the guy work there. I mean, he was a good driver. You know, he never drank. There was no problems.
Well, that's why they let him work
there.
But
he used to bring the girl with him. Like I said, she had to be 16. Not a good-looking girl. She could see it. I guarantee she had problems. The parents couldn't afford her medical bills or whatever. Maybe he had insurance, and he married her. You know, I don't know what the deal was, but it wasn't. And in those days, in those neighborhoods, nobody really gave a fuck, I think. Jesus. You know, I mean, they gave a fuck if you were a child molester. I mean, if you took the kid in, I mean, he wasn't the guy in Chicago or Cleveland that had him living in their fucking basement, deprived of vitamin D. At least he had her out in the sunlight, you know what I'm saying? He's going to, whatever. So, talking of vitamin D, On It, motherfuckers. 2014's coming. On It has a sale no matter what the fuck you do. Plus, once you use our code, you get an additional 10% off. I don't know if it's free shipping. You got to check all that shit. Listen. They got the kettlebells. They got the fucking other kettlebells. They got the ropes. If you want to be Tarzan, they got that part of it. If you want your body in tune, you want your mind in tune, you got your alpha brain. You got your fucking shroom tech, whether you want the sport or the fucking immune. You've got the new mood. You've got the stevia. You've got the hemp protein powder. You got the hemp protein bars. You got the turnaround 180 if you want to fly. Guys, there's so many fucking different things to offer, but you're never going to know unless you go to onit.com. Take a look at what the fuck they got. Order it. Put my thing in the box. What's the thing?
Church.
Church. C-H-U-R-C-H. In the fucking box. And that's it. Who's better than you? Boom. 3-4 days later, you got some on it. Start yourself on a program, whether it's walking, whether you want to see if the Alpha Brain. The Alpha Brain has like a tremendous guarantee on it. I don't know what the fuck it is. Joe used to always talk about it. Give it a fucking shot. You're sitting there like a moron, scratching your fucking head, thinking where to start. That's where you start, with your health. Because without your health, you got ugats. Number two, in a couple of weeks, we lose Dollar Shave Club. You guys got like a couple fucking days to take opportunity of this. $1, $6, and $9. You go to my fucking webpage, joeydiaz.net, and you go to the Dollar Shave Club box, and what's the code?
Church.
Church, C-H-U-R-C-H. Don't be so fucking stupid. You don't have to look it up, cocksucker. It's right there ahead of you. You got the $1 plan. You get the fucking solid core with 4 fucking razors shipped to you, no drama. For $6, you get the double blades with the alloy strip. You get a fucking tremendous deal. For $9, you get the double blade with the strip, triple, fucking, it's sharpened by some Japanese guy in a cave. I mean, let me explain something. You put this fucking shave on your nutsack, you won't see a hair for a fucking month. You want to shave your wife's fucking pussy? The same. I won't suggest shaving your wife's asshole. Do that on your own time. Dollar Shave Club does not represent or stand behind the comments made by Joey Diaz about shaving a woman's asshole. Number two, you got $9. What's 9 times 12? What the fuck, Lee? I give you this. This is what I'm talking about.
$96
a year, and you know that your shaving products.
$108,
and you know your shaving products are coming. Why go to the store and stand there with the thumb up your ass looking for razors? You know you're going to get fucking raped. So do me a favor. Go to dollarshaveclub.com or go to joeydiaz.net. Go to the box, press in, church, boom. Get your fucking deal. $1, $6, $9, all right? That's how the fuck we roll here. Who the fuck you think you're dealing with?
Joey Bannis.
You know? So I'm sorry if the podcast was deep for you today. It was a little deep for me too, but that's how the fucking things go down sometimes. It's not all about ha-has and hee-hees. Sometimes you got to get up, look at yourself in the mirror and say, today is the day somebody's sucking my dick. You understand me?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. What's happening, Lee? What's your plans?
I can't talk to you for 10 seconds. Hold on. We need to do this. Monday morning. Cannot go.
Oh shit. I wanna be around. There you go, motherfuckers. To pick up the pieces when somebody breaks your heart. Somebody twice as smart.
As I. Okay. So, did you have a point you wanted to make about going to your church, your wife's church, or no? Because you got interrupted.
No. Listen, they have a tremendous daycare program there. Mm-hmm. And I just, if you're going to have a religion, I want the religion to be real from the heart. I have nothing against your religion. Everybody has their own religion, whether it's Christianity, or Lutheran, Episcopalian, whatever the fuck, Catholic, Jewish, whatever the fuck you are. But make me feel like I'm in a religious thing. I don't want to get beat up or whipped. But it's 2013. You're still fucking boring me to death with the fucking Jose Feliciano acoustic fucking guitar. I can't deal with that shit no more.
The guitar kills me.
It was fucking terrible. Let the choir fucking sing. That's number one. Then they just got into conversations that I don't want to talk about in church. That's it. That's all it really was, you know? And it's not my type of church. Remember, a happy wife, a happy life, guys. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go over there and bust her balls about the church. I'm just not going to go. She's not going to get mad.
And yeah, she's cool with that?
My wife doesn't get mad at that type of shit. My wife understands that I'm impatient. I'm very fucking impatient. You know, I snap at the drop of a fucking dime if my impatienceness and... If I could be doing something for an hour at home, you know, and I feel bad because church is something that you do as a family, but it's not really my type of church. I don't want her to go to the Catholic church unless she feels 100% committed. Do you understand me?
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I stand. I have nothing against nobody's religion. I talk a lot of shit. I respect religion a lot. There's people who are atheists or whatever. But all religion is hope. So by you telling me you're a fucking atheist, you ain't got no fucking hope. We all have hope for something. Okay, it's stupid that we... bow before a shrine or whatever, but maybe it isn't. Who the fuck knows? Chinese people got Buddha, they're lighting incense, they're putting rice out there for the fucking guy. Who knows? The Cubans do the same on Monday. The reason why I play it, I want to be around because in the Cuban faith, Mondays are for the spirits. You know, Mondays are to put a candle and light candles for the people that you lost and to let them know you're still thinking about them. You know what I'm saying? That's what Mondays are for in my house.
Yeah.
And my mother used to go the extra mile. She'd light candles and put a dish of food out for them and shit. I'm not that fucking crazy.
Now, I still don't think I believe in God. I'm more agnostic. But when I was younger, I was atheist. When you were younger, your mom passed away when you were 15. Were you atheist at that point? Like, because that would be reasonable.
No, I was.
God kills your mom.
When I was born, I was very Catholic.
Uh huh.
You know, I believe that Dad, my father, was in heaven. You know, so that's how it started, people. It's not that you wake up one day and say, "I believe the fucking Bible." You know, I believe your father's dead. You love your father, and you believe that God has your father.
Mm-hmm.
What God? Again, that's up to you. He could be with fucking Johnny Hindu. He could be with a Jew God. He could be with a Hindu with an Afro. Who fucking knows? I'm not here to criticize your fucking God. So that's how it started for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, you know, you go to church and blah, blah, blah. And then when I was about 7, my mother took me to see this lady called Bev on 148th Street. And all Santeria is in the Cuban faith is Catholicism mixed with African deities.
Mm-hmm.
So she mixed them, and she would tell me stories about the Catholic gods and blah, 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 and it just amazed me. And I can't lie to nobody. I fell in love with it. I fell in love with it, and I really felt protected. Once I got put in Catholic school, I understood it, Lee, and I understood it, people at home, but I didn't. I didn't understand all these extra things for Catholicism. I didn't understand why I got hit if I did something bad, if the Bible says to love. I didn't understand why I had to drink my fucking milk. You know? I didn't understand all these fucking things where they'd smack me in the fucking mouth. I didn't understand all these things in the church, like how I had to go to church every fucking day. Oh, I had to put money in a church. I didn't understand a lot of these things. So that's when you become Bruce Lee.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you, in your heart, you like some things, but you don't like the others, so you become a Jeet Kune Do. That's all what Bruce Lee was a Jeet Kune Do of what he believed. He believed a little bit of judo worked, a little bit of jiu-jitsu worked, a little bit of karate worked, and the rest of the shit was Ugats. And that's that. At that point, I had mixed those two together, okay? And I had a strong faith. But I also saw what was going on with Santeria, and that's what happens with every religion once money gets involved.
Mm-hmm.
And it ruins it. A religion is something you do from the kindness of your heart that you do. But I understand, somebody has to pay the lights, and somebody has to do this. But it's a tax fucking break, and you know the fucking deals of a church, and that's why you open up a church, and blah, 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 blah. But, so, I really believed in all that at that time. Then you find your mother on the floor, with her arm black and blue from the fucking heart attack. What are you supposed to think? You know, she doesn't leave you a will. You have all these fucking things against you. Your stepdad throws you out. I didn't know, it wasn't that I didn't believe, but I didn't know what to think. And I was pissed off, and all I wanted was a sign for him to let me know that this was just something. You don't get a sign, it just got worse for me. But I continued to snort coke. I continued to go out every night and party and jump up and down. So, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What the fuck, you know? And then I got back my faith a little bit when I got locked up.
Really?
Yeah, because I had gone away from, I wasn't a part of the Bible studies or nothing like that. Just in my own things, I remembered what happened when I went to see my godmother in 85. And she told me not to do business with three people. She told me not to fuck around with cocaine, nothing white. You know, she told me not to fuck around with, that was the most important thing. She goes, "I told you 1,000 times, don't do business with three people." Now I'm sitting in a fucking hole because I did a drug deal with three fucking people. So now the religion started coming back to me. Remember, I had done drugs every day since 1978. Now it was 1988. And I was cold turkey. Once you get off the drugs, you feel your real emotions coming back. You feel what the fuck you feel. That's why you smoke fucking pot. That's why you do acid. That's why you fucking drink. That's why you do coke, to fucking hide what's really the pain that's killing you. Once that pain rose, it was amazing. So guess what I had?
What?
Religion. I had religion to calm me down a little bit. Because now I knew that I believed a little bit. Holy fuck. She told me 3 years ago not to do business with three people. She told me to stop snorting coke. I knew when I did Santeria, I'm not supposed to deal with weapons. So what the fuck am I talking about here? So here I am. So now I had a little bit, but not really. I got out, 88. I started selling cars, and I saw one day some guy that was sitting in the front pew at church cheating on his fucking wife. So all these things took me back a little bit. Once I went to Sacred Heart in Boulder, I liked that church, and I liked the two priests. It's not like I hang out with fucking priests and listen to fucking Coltrane and smoke dope. I just liked them, their initial thing. I liked what they were doing for the church, you know? And then I stopped going there, too, after I got divorced. Fuck that church. It's a kiss of death, that fucking... It's like a fucking horse track with fucking Filipinos or whatever the fuck. You know, it's a bad luck fucking horse track. And then I moved here. I moved here, and I got into to the acting and the stand-up, and I lost everything. I was so overpowered with the ability to do stand-up and movies and auditions and snorting cocaine. You know, the cocaine... From fucking 98 to 2005, my cocaine use was off the fucking chain here. So that cocaine use was still there. And then after Marilyn died and she told me those things, that's where everything revamped for me. And I walked into church. I did that movie, Boilermaker, and there was an old guy on the movie that was the guy in Scarface that grabs Al Pacino's face and says, "How'd you get the scar?" Tough guy eating pussy, and he had lost his wife before the movie. So I talked to him a lot on the set. I was stopping to do coke, so I would talk to him as I wasn't doing coke anymore. You know, I would talk to him about not doing blow anymore. He talked to me about the pain of his wife. His name was Old Man John. He was as Irish as fuck, Lee, and funny as fuck. You couldn't bring up George Clooney around him. He would go off, "Fuck that motherfucker, he can't act." You know, this guy was a bad motherfucker. He was in Dog Day Afternoon. He was in Scarface. He was in Boilermaker. Look him up. His name is John. John something. Old Man John. He's probably dead by now. But look up the movie Boilermaker, and it'll be a lot easier. And just read me the names of the fucking people. There's Boilermaker on IMDb. So him and I started going to lunchtime mass at mm-hmm. Sacred Heart in Hollywood. Blessed Sacrament, where Pacquiao goes to church. And then one day he found out about this new church, right, in on Santa Monica Boulevard, a Catholic church that does lunchtime mass. So he goes, "My friends tell me it's not bad." I go, "Where'd you?" So he went to this thing, and there was like three gay guys holding hands. He went off in the church. "Fuck these faggots." And I had to pull him out of there, and I laughed all the way to the car. And then me and Ralphie took him to lunch one day. What was the guy's name?
I'm looking. Was it John Savage?
No. That guy was in Deer Hunter with De Niro.
Johnny Creer?
Johnny Creer?
Let's see if that's him. He's a detective in it?
No, he's one of the old guys in the...
There's another old guy. Let me keep looking.
There's an old guy that was in Scarface. He was in Dog Day Afternoon. He was in some other big fucking movies. I wonder if he died. Because he was living in Hollywood, in the heart of Hollywood, in a rent-controlled apartment. And they were trying to get him out. So they were trying to put him up at the SAG home for old people in Woodland Hills, and he was fighting them. So he still had a ton of life ahead of him, and I would pick him up. And then somebody called me and said he was yelling and screaming at the landlord, and they were going to move him to his sister's. But the guy was fucking hilarious. Nothing yet.
His name might not have gotten billing.
He got billing. Let me switch with you. I'll find it. Because I can't do it. Sorry, guys. Let me just switch with my man here for a second. Good job, John Savage. Jack McGee, Mike Red. Keep going. Ariana Albright, Darren, Bruce Stoke, Bruce Bernard. Keep going.
That's it.
Keep going. Jesus Christ. You're right. Go back up again. Jack McGee, John Savage. Wow.
But he was in Scarface?
Yeah, he was in Scarface. Scarface. There it is. And fucking
let's see.
He was the he played the inspection. So that's what they're gonna have, immigration inspector. There we go. John Brandon. Told you his name was John something. Come on, cocksucker. Hey, keep going. Keep going. Let me just read what it says about him.
Sorry. John Brandon. Yeah, they didn't put him in with Boilermaker.
Keep going on, Mr. C. John Brandon.
That's it. Let's see football. That's it.
Go back. Just click on back. John Brandon. Let's see. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Make sure you get confessions of a hitman. Keep going. See, Webster, you're looking for. Keep going. You're looking for McCormick and Schmidt, Scarface. You're looking for Hill Street Blues. Question. Knots Landing, Archie Bunker's Place. Look at this fucking resume. Night of City, Eight is Enough. Do you see Serpico? Look at this shit, guys. Serpico, Gunsmoke. This motherfucker was a savage. I can't find Dog Day Afternoon. But, it was either Serpico or one of those. That's how bad this motherfucker was. He once told me a story. Sorry about walking away from the microphone. He once told me a story. It's John Brandon, you're right. He once told me a story that he went to read for Scarface. They made him read, and the guy told him, you know, when Al comes in, so at first he fucking roughs Al up. He's the one that grabbed Pacino and goes, "How'd you get the scar on your pussy, tough guy eating pussy? Or how'd you get the scar on your face, tough guy eating pussy?" And all of a sudden he goes, "Cut, cut!" And the director or producer goes, "Come here for a second, let me talk to you, John." He goes, "John, don't touch his fucking face. That's the shot. How dare you touch his face? What's the matter with you? Next time, grab him gently." And next time, Pacino goes, "All right, you ready?" "Yeah, blah, blah." And all of a sudden, Branford goes, "How'd you get the scar on your face? Tough guy eating pussy?" And he only grabbed his shirt. And fucking Pacino goes, "John, would you please cut my fucking face already?" So the director just turned around and hid because he had fucked up. Pacino wanted to be grabbed. Pacino wanted to be, you know, touched and pushed. You know, that was going to sell the scene. So John said he felt really good that he made the right call, you know.
Yeah.
So John was a good guy. I hope he's not dead. He was just an old fucking geezer that would tell people exactly how he felt. Also, this weekend when I was on the plane on Southwest, now they give you free TV. And I noticed the people sitting next to us were watching Hulu fucking Plus. And I asked them a bunch of questions, and they were watching a show called Savage.
Okay.
Savage or something on there. And I asked them how they liked it, and they said they fucking loved it, that they've been part of Hulu for like 4 months. Now, they didn't sign up because of me. I'm not going to tell you that. But they said that they loved it, and they told me all the advantages and the Wi-Fis and this and this. And you know what? That makes me happy because I know Lee and I made a great choice when we're picking sponsors, okay? Hulu Plus, 2 weeks for free, $7.99 a month after that. You got original programming. You got fucking Law & Order SVU. You got Saturday Night Live. You got so much stuff on there, you can't not be a part of that. You understand me? Please, go to fucking joeydiaz.net. Go to the Hulu Plus box, pressing Joey, right? J-O-E-Y. Get yourself 2 weeks for free, and then $7.99 a month after that. No fucking strings attached. You're going to love it. You're going to fucking love it. My wife lives on fucking Hulu at work, she was telling me. So please, you can watch it on your phone. You can watch it on fucking an iPad, some smart device. You can even watch it on some fucking asshole. Some guy will let you put a screen up his ass. I don't fucking know what you do for entertainment. HuluPlus.com. Go to JoeyDiaz.net. Check out my dates, and while you're there, go, "What the fuck? I like watching TV during the week, and I want to save money next year." $7.99 a fucking month, people. That's $96 a year, correct?
Correct.
So what the fuck are we waiting for? Just go to HuluPlus.com. Go to JoeyDiaz.net. Go to Hulu Plus, press in Joey, and get your 2 weeks for free. Let's get this fucking party started. You know why? Because that's how I roll. It's Monday morning. I got time for fucking fun and games with you people. We tried to put a podcast together today. I don't know what the fuck happened to it. I'm stoned. I'm having a good time.
Goomies.
See, you're not that high. You look great.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not. You look great, Lee. You're getting, this is what I was trying to tell you. I want you to build resistance because in 2014, if you want to hang out with these crazy motherfuckers with the Constantine Reigns and the Leons and all these people that we fucking shout out, you got to bring both guns, Lee. The fucking people who listen to church and come to the shows, they're fucking professionals. You see the bag of dope they sent you?
Yeah.
Did you see the bag of dope?
It was the biggest pill bottle I've ever seen.
These people don't fuck around. They love you. I don't ever want you to lose face in front of them. They come to you with a fucking bazooka that's got 1,000 milligrams of THC. I want you to eat it, look them in the eye, and go, "What are you going to do, suck my dick or lick my asshole?" That's what we're trying to talk about here. Again, the motto of the fucking podcast is, what the fuck do you want to do? Do you want to walk out on your fucking knees, or do you walk out on your feet? The rest is up to you, bitch. That's why I love you. The church of what's happening now. Let me tell you what I'm doing, just to let you people know what's going on. This Friday and Saturday, I'm going to Nashville. I'm only doing one fucking show a night. Don't come crying to me later. The tickets, Joey, we don't know what to do. It's not a big place. It's 9:30 show. That's it. Following James Gregory, one of the funniest fucking men you ever seen in your life. Next Monday, we're not doing a podcast. We're doing a podcast next Wednesday and Friday.
Okay.
The 20th, because I'm going to the premiere. I'm taking the fucking bloggy and I'm putting it all. I'm doing a Mad Flavor World. We're going to tap into Lee's editing fucking world again. And because he loves to edit. So we're going to do a live podcast. We're going to do a premiere Mad Flavors World special one, because you guys are part of this. You guys are part of my life. And without you, I wouldn't even have had the luck to fucking do this movie. So that's what we're doing. So next week, it's Wednesday and Friday. We'll be back Wednesday at 6 a.m. And then I'm also doing Doug.
Get high. Get Doug with high.
Get Doug with high Wednesday afternoon. Like I said, I only got 2 days left this weekend. You ready for this? I got Nashville. But New Year's Eve is not really just a New Year's Eve show. It's a CD release show. I'm releasing the CD the 31st of fucking... So I'm going to try to have Lee burn some copies. I'm going to try to give away. So it's not just a fucking comedy show. I'm going to have some tremendous fucking comics there. And I'm going to have a CD release party. We're going to smoke some dope. It's $30 to get in. You're out of there at 10:15. Are you listening to me? There's going to be a DJ. You could stay up there. You could eat dinner. You could jump up and down. There's a hotel right on Universal City, the Sheraton. If I was you, I'd do that complete plan. Take some mushrooms. Bring your girlfriend. Shave her ass off with the Dollar Shave Club. Give her some Honored New Mood. And fucking, I don't know, watch Hulu Plus. Whatever, the savage, while you're being a fucking savage. So what my point is a $30 CD release party, New Year's party, rather than 10:30, whatever the fuck you want to do. And that's it. It's going to be easy. December 31st, John Lovitz. Go to johnlovitz.com and get your tickets fucking today and cut the shit. Okay? Plus, on the 25th, on Christmas night, me and Lee and Paula.
Sure.
We're going to go to the movies to see Grudge Match. You know what? You're invited. If 100 of you come, you're invited. The movie sucks, we all watch it together and we take the loss, okay? That's just the way it is. The movie's going to be great. You guys are going to love it. So please, we're going to keep you posted. What movie theater? It's going to be like the 8 o'clock show. Go, open your presents, kiss the kids, you know, go see your mom, all that shit. We're going to try to make the movie theater as late as you can, like 8:30, you know, 10 to 9, whatever the fuck that time is so you people can make it. We're all going to be together Christmas night. A church fucking gathering. Nobody does this type of shit no more. You're going to say, nobody, nobody. We're going to eat fucking Benny Googles. We're going to eat fucking crackers, whatever. If you want to suck a dick, come on down too. There's going to be plenty of guys there that need their balls licked. So come on down. I love you people. That's all I got to offer you. You know, I wish I had more, but please, Christmas Eve, let's get together.
Christmas night.
Christmas night. If you can't make New Year's, I understand. If you don't live in Nashville, I understand. But these are 2 days left of the year. Let's all get together Christmas fucking night. Watch Grudge Match as a fucking family. As a fucking family. So if you want to bring turkey sandwiches, you want to bring cookies from your house, cupcakes laced with marijuana and hash, Lee is ready. I love you guys. Have a fucking great day. Stay black. I don't know what else to tell you guys. Merry Christmas, happy holidays. Fuck it. Tremendous podcast today.
Yeah, I'm really excited for you, man. This is like the calm before the storm.
Yeah.
Like when that movie comes out, it's going to be
I don't know what it's going to be, but let's watch it together. I don't know what it's going to be, and I don't give a fuck what it's going to be. You guys know what it is. It's us. This is what it means to get up in the morning and have a dream and just make it happen. So let's just go together. Bring weed. Don't bring weed. Bring an edible. Don't bring an edible. Just bring money for your fucking ticket. Everything else, we'll figure it out. We'll buy 20 pounds of popcorn and shove it up each other's ass. I don't fucking know. We'll butter it for you. I love you guys. Have a great day. Stay black.
And quickly, Agostino Zoida and I, he's been on the show. He opens for Joey sometimes. We started Flying Jew Radio. It's been submitted to iTunes. Check it out, please. Or follow me on Twitter. And that's it. Now that the show's over, don't forget to sign up for your free trial of Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Support this podcast and get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to HuluPlus.com/Joey or go to JoeyDiaz.net and click on the Hulu Plus banner. And don't forget to sign up for DollarShaveClub.com. You'll get high-quality razors sent to your door every month for a fraction of what you pay at retail. Go to DollarShaveClub.com/church or go to JoeyDiaz.net and click on the Dollar Shave Club banner.
I love you.
just to say, my boys don't play fool. York aside, and you know how the song goes. In the back, sipping purple chongos. Don't look for trouble, but it always seems to find us. 40 gripping, panties, sipping, and it seems to right behind us. Quick left, one blow, KO. Hit the road to the next episode. In the saga of a few fellas. Oh, what the hell? I guess I better tell ya. It's Friday night, I got a brand new kit on. A fifth of heat for me to get bent on. Hit the country club to pick up ML. 80 West, back to the hotel.
She'll drop some mail so I can cut turf and hit another hotel.